Trinity United Methodist Church. We are so thankful and blessed that you have chosen to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ here with us this morning. As we open up this time of praise and worship, would you please stand and bow your heads and your hearts, and may we open up with a word of prayer today. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your peace and your truth. We thank you for the privilege and the opportunity and the wondrous honor that it is to worship you today. Lord Christ, we invite you here this morning, and we ask that you would just move in the Spirit by your Holy Spirit, impact our hearts, minds, and souls, and may you be glorified and only you. May you be worshiped completely, wholeheartedly, unhindered, and may you move us to become more like you, we ask. We commit this service into your care. May you be blessed and honored. In the holy name of Jesus, our wonderful Savior, we do pray. Amen.
You know, it makes me so happy to see all of you in here. It fills my heart with joy to see all your smiling faces. Let's take this time to open our ears, open our hearts, and turn our eyes to Jesus as we sing, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," found in 284 in your hymnal. Let's keep our smiles up, our hearts open, and we know that God is here and God is with us. Let's turn to page 319 in your hymnals as we sing Blessed Assurance. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all that you do and have done in our lives. We ask for a special blessing over this worship, over this message. We just ask that you still our hearts, still our minds, open our ears. Let us hear your word. Let us know who you are. Let us learn from you, learn from your word. Give us peace and bless us as we continue this day and continue to love you and love your children. And all this we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen.
You may be seated. Junior worship is now dismissed for those in kindergarten through fifth grade. We have a special ministry, especially prepared, especially for this. I want to thank everybody who helped out with the funeral dinner on this past Thursday for the family of Rick Smith. And so I just want to give you a heartfelt thank you. It was a wonderful way to bless that family during a difficult time and a time of loss. Unfortunately, we have the this morning, and we'll be having another funeral dinner on Wednesday. Danny Brubaker's brother Jeff passed away, and so if you feel led, sign up, bring a casserole. Anita has filled out the clipboards. You can read through that, and it's just another opportunity, unfortunately, during this time of loss, this time of grief, and this time of difficulty for the Brubaker family. But it affords us the opportunity to surround them with the love of Christ, to surround them with our prayers, and to surround them with the ministry of presence. And so as those clipboards go out, may you follow as the Spirit leads. Forward, and she has an announcement for an upcoming class here at Trinity.
All right, I'm going to give you a test. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's happening Wednesday night at 7 o'clock? Awesome. What time does it start?
Seven.
Oh, did I say that? Thank you, Greg. I just wanted to remind everybody that this Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, we're having a Discovering Your Spiritual Gift class. And it's not just discovering your spiritual gifts. It's supposed to say, and more. So if you already had done the Discovering Your Spiritual Gift class, come anyhow, and you'll learn something, I promise.
Mm-hmm. Yep, thank you, Charlene. Mm-hmm. So we invite you to be a part of the spiritual gift learning and discovering your spiritual gifts here at Trinity this coming Wednesday, February the 1st. Or no, it's the 8th, isn't it? Yes, it's the 8th. I'm all confused here. February the 8th, so a week from this Wednesday, mark it on your calendars, and be a part of that class. We would.
Wait, it is just Wednesday. February 8th at 7 o'clock.
Today's the
5th.
Oh, today's the 5th. Okay. Wow. I am all confused here this morning.
I am human,
so I am human. So it's yes, today is the 5th. So, and also we want to just, you know, bring your attention to the clothing drive fundraiser for Vacation Bible School, and it is going on now. And basically, if you have more information about that, you can see Rachel. She is holding Asana back there, and we can tell you this, that the bins have been emptied at least 2 times. I don't know, maybe they're full again, so they're full right now, but do not let that stop you from bringing things. We assure you that we will get the bins emptied, and if we got to call them to come out every day, we will do that. So basically bring out your clothing items, your cloth items, and you know, it doesn't matter their condition. Let Easter Seals sort all that out and just put those in the bins. And then, you know, Rachel will handle it from there. And if you have further information or questions, see Rachel in the back. Okay, so the tax deductible receipts, you can see Rachel for those as well. And then that way you can claim that on your income tax. At this point, I'm going to ask Bonnie to come forward. And Bonnie Kester has another announcement here for us this morning. So, Bonnie, if you would please come.
Good morning. I'm Bonnie Kester, and I'm relatively new here at Trinity United Methodist. And I have felt a call to be of service here. And one of the things that I think I can do and I'd love to do is to work with the welcome committee. We've had wonderful, wonderful people working. There's Tina and Carol and Jerry, I believe Mary. Mm-hmm. Anyways, we are looking to have some other people who maybe feel the call to serve in this way. The Lord speaks to us and we need to answer that call that he gives us. Anyways, we're going to be having a meeting February 26th after the service. It'll just be a short meeting. Basically, there's not drastic changes or anything that will be going on. We're just going to go over some of the things, and we will be having a new welcome packet that our Sunday school children are going to be designing, and then we will have items that go in there. And as you know, we are all part of the welcome committee. I mean, it's just not the people that greet you at the door. It's part of us to welcome new people and make them feel at home, that they want to come in and they will feel God's love. Anyways, I hope to see you on the 26th. If anyone is so called, let Pastor know or myself, and we'll go from there.
Cool.
Thank you.
Cool. Thank you, Bonnie. And to that end, yeah, I see some new faces here. If you are here and you are visiting, we would invite you to fill out the connection card. You can find that in your pew. Fill that out. We would love to be in connection with you, and you can put that in the offering plate as it goes by. And so February the 26th, the last Sunday of this month, if you can shake hands and give people a warm smile in the morning on Sunday mornings or any other special services, then you are willing to come alongside of our mainstay greeters, you know, as the individuals that Bonnie mentioned. Please, we would invite you to come to the meeting on February the 26th, immediately following the service. Let us now turn our attention to the reading of God's Word.
Today's reading from the Word will be found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 10 through 24, found on page 1824 of the Pew Bibles, if you'd like to read along. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood. blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all of this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and a sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Tychicus, the dear brother and faithful servant in the Lord, will tell you everything so that you also may know how I am and what I am doing. I am sending him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage you. Peace to the brothers and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to all who love our Lord Jesus Christ with an undying love. This is the word of God for the people of God. May we all be blessed in this hearing. If the ushers will now please come forward for our tithes and offerings.
All right, very quickly, guys, I want to point out that today is my mom's birthday, so let's all clap for her. I'm sure she loves that. So I'm going to begin with a quote from Martin Luther. Martin Luther as in the German Protestant reformer, not Martin Luther King. That is a different guy. It's an American civil rights leader that's commonly confused, so remember Martin Luther. You should diligently learn the word of God, and by no means imagine that you know it. Let him who is able to read take a psalm in the morning, or some other chapter of scripture, and study it for a while. This is what I do. When I get up in the morning, I pray and recite the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer with the children, adding any one of the psalms. I do this only to keep myself well acquainted with these matters, and I do not want to let the mildew of the notion grow that I know them well enough. The devil is a greater rascal than you think he is. You do as yet not know what sort of fellow he is and what a desperate rogue you are. His definite design is to get you tired of the word and in this way to draw you away from it. This is his aim. So over the last few weeks, we've been talking about the armor of God. We've gone over the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, the shield of faith, and the helmet of salvation. And today we will be talking about the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Scripture is our weapon. It is our sword. It is the sword that the Holy Spirit uses to convict, persevere, resist, and cut down our enemies. We battle day in and day out with an adversary who absolutely wishes to destroy you mentally, physically, and spiritually. An enemy who is powerful, has legions of followers, and will accuse you anytime you stumble. He is a murderer, a liar, a thief, and a deceiver. Without our Lord, we would have absolutely no shot, no chance, and we would have no Savior. We would be guilty of all accusations that he would level against us. The fact is, we are powerless without God, but God has given us a weapon, the sword of the Spirit, the word of God. He has equipped us with a weapon that will slay and silence our enemies. Are we taking hold of this weapon? Are we properly using this weapon? Are we using the sword of the Spirit in our day-to-day life? In order to use this weapon, we need to keep care of our weapon. We must know our weapon, we must know our offense, we must know the basis for it. The entire Protestant Reformation revolved around the idea of Scripture being authoritative. When the Roman Catholic Church was teaching false doctrines such as purgatory and manipulating people through the idea of indulgences, it was Luther who stood up to their lies, and he did so by appealing to Scripture. He famously stated, "Unless I am convinced by Scripture and plain reason, I do not accept the authority of the popes and councils, for they have contradicted each other. My conscience is held captive to the word of God. I cannot and I will not recant anything, for to go against conscience is neither right nor safe. God help me. Amen." Without Scripture, Luther would have no leg to stand on, and the Reformation would have never taken place. Without Scripture, we are simply susceptible to human error. We are susceptible to false doctrine. We are like sheep being led to a slaughter, and we have no authoritative platform to place our feet. However, with Scripture, we can test everything. We can hold doctrine to the ground of Scripture, the scriptural basis of doctrine, and subsequently allow the Spirit to guide our lives using Scripture. So over the last few years, there have been several studies that have come out. And these studies have been on biblical literacy of people in church and Americans in general. And a lot of these statistics are quite shocking, so I figured I'd share some with you. Only 17% of Americans identified as Bible engaged. Meanwhile, 46% of Americans identified as Bible skeptic or neutral to the Bible. Only 9% say they read the Bible on a day-to-day basis. 62% of non-Christian millennials say they have never read a Bible verse. And what's a really intriguing part of this is it's a self-report survey. On self-report surveys, people generally lie to make themselves look better. So that 9% statistic is probably in reality about half or 4.5%. So in the UK, so across the Atlantic Ocean, Europe has been experiencing a secularizing of their culture. And this really reflects in the survey. Nearly half of the 1,100 parents surveyed failed to identify Noah's Ark as a story from the Bible. More than one-third thought a Harry Potter plotline was or might have come from the Bible. That's a real statistic. Not making that up. So let's go back to the U.S. for a second. So let's go over a few basic theological questions that were asked. 46% of self-identified evangelicals agree or somewhat agree with this following statement. God accepts the worship of all religions, including Christianity, Islam, and Judaism. But John chapter 14 says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." This is an exclusive statement. Christianity isn't one path to God. Christianity is the only path to God. Jesus Christ is the only path to God. Islam and Judaism both reject the divinity of Christ. And according to the same survey, only 52% of Americans who attend church at least once or twice a month, this would be a regular attender, right? Only 52% of Americans who attend church at least once or twice a month agree with this following statement. Sex outside of traditional marriage is a sin. 52%. So there's clearly a lack of biblical ethics, a lack of biblical knowledge, and a lack of being biblically literate. And this is dangerous for quite a few reasons. In order to be spiritual warriors, we must know Scripture. This is our weapon. This is our guide. And this is how we learn about God and how we grow spiritually. The Bible is a gift from God. Our Creator has given us Scripture that is inerrant, infallible, and beneficial in every single facet of our life. With the Holy Spirit's guidance, we apply Scripture into our life. We learn about what God has done, who God is, and how God works. The Bible contains prophecy, it contains poetry, it contains prayers, and it contains historical narrative. The Bible contains first-hand accounts of the most important story of all time, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Savior. So why do we not study it? Why are we so easily persuaded to do literally anything else besides read the Bible? People have been oppressed, people have been persecuted, and people have been put to death,
that we may have the ability to read the Bible in our native language. Yet many of us rarely even think about opening up the Bible outside of church. Many of us have 4 or 5, even 10 Bibles at home, and they're all in a bookcase, or they're all on the table, just collecting dust. How in the world do any of us expect to live by Scripture if we do not know what is in Scripture? How do we expect to grow spiritually if we're not providing our soul with God's Word? We are up against the forces of darkness, that is Satan and his legions of demons. We are up against the world. Turn on CNN or Fox News, whatever your preference. Look and see what's happening to our world right now. That's what we are up against. And we are up against our own carnal desires. But what does God tell us to do? He says to pray and to read his word. But we wonder why Christians fall away. We wonder how our children grow up and desert the church. We wonder why they don't stick with it. We wonder why our own life is spiritually stagnant, while we can't seem to stay on track. And so we come up with all these schemes, right? We come up with all these ideas, yet we never consult the Word. And our plans fail, and we rely solely on ourselves. And our life begins to become spiritually dead, so we start to get back in our old habits. Maybe a few sins here and there, right? Those never hurt anyone. And we never consult the Word. Finally, we fall back into the same unrepentant lifestyle that we had before conversion. And we do the same exact stuff that we did before. This is how people fall away. It isn't because they aren't trying. It's because they went into the spiritual battleground without their shield. They went in without their shoes. They went in without their helmet. And they went in without their sword. We can't expect to succeed against the enemies if we do not even grab our sword. And I get it. I get it. There's been times where I've done literally anything else than read Scripture. You know, Scripture reading sometimes takes, what, 15 minutes tops? But I've sat there and watched a 3-hour documentary on the Loch Ness Monster, right? We know the Loch Ness Monster isn't real. We know that the documentary isn't going to find it. He's been extinct for 65 million years or 6,000 years, however old we think the Earth is. He's not in a lake. But I will do that instead of reading God's literal word. So I get it. But diving into the word is infinitely beneficial. It is beneficial on a spiritual level. Diving into the Bible will push us closer to God. With the Holy Spirit as our guide, if we are a Christian or a repentant Christian whom God is working through, we will go through a process called sanctification. Gradually over time, the Spirit will point out sins and flaws in our life in order to lead us to change and repentance. When we talk about the conviction of the Holy Spirit, this is what we are talking about. The longer we go on our spiritual journey, the more we will realize how depraved and broken we are and how merciful and loving God is. To see how flawed we are is tough. The more we search the Scriptures, the more God will break you down. And this is the truth. That God will break you down into pieces in order to build you into what he wants. We must always remember that as Christians, it is not I, but Christ who lives in us. We must be spiritually disciplined, and that begins with the Word of God. If we are to be witnesses of our Lord Jesus Christ, we must be faithful partakers of the Word. This is not a choice. We are called to spread the gospel to further to all nations. This can be done in action, but this most often will be done in words. How good are we at defending the faith when we don't read the Word? How can we be faithful witnesses if we only read the Bible when we are in church? 1 Peter chapter 3 says, "But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for that hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." How in the world can we do this if we have no idea what is in the Scriptures? In order to use the sword, we must maintain the sword. We must sharpen the sword. A dull sword does not cut, and a dull sword will lead to spiritual stagnation. Implement discipline. We sharpen the sword by diving deeper into the Word, studying its historical context, understanding what's going on, understanding what it's saying, and understanding its implications in our day-to-day life. It could be one verse a day, or it could be
may have excuses. You may not feel like it. You may be busy. You may have family obligations. You may be tired. But ask yourself, with all those excuses, does that stack up? I will remind you once again that people spent their entire lives devoted, being persecuted, so that you may read the Bible in your natural language. And most importantly, Jesus Christ himself uses scripture. Matthew 4 says that Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out the mouth of God." Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not strike your foot against the stone." But Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister. So let's look at this strategy a little bit. Jesus uses scripture to resist Satan. I imagine Jesus Christ is a pretty good example of how we should base our life. We are constantly being attacked in subtle ways by our enemy. Through situations, circumstances, temptation, and possibly even direct attacks, we experience the presence of Satan and his forces, but we are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy One, who uses this sword to drive back these forces. Our battle is a spiritual battle. Satan wants to distract you. He wants to lead you into sin. He wants you to reject God. So we can't just stand there and be shocked when it happens. Seek God. Pray. And we cannot forget to grab our sword that hopefully we have been sharpened. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, he states, "All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness." What we believe is grounded in scripture. If our faith is not grounded in scripture, our faith is worthless. I'll repeat that again. If our faith is not grounded in scripture, it is worthless. We can believe whatever we want, but if we are going to claim to be Christian, we must have a scriptural basis for our belief. If we are going to share the news, the good news of the gospel, people are going to want to know where that is. And you are going to need to be able to point out and locate where the gospel is. If we are going to point out sin in our brothers and sisters, they certainly are going to want to know the scriptural basis for you coming to them and pointing out their sin. This is only possible through study of God's word. The Holy Spirit speaks through scripture, and ultimately scripture is the means of sanctification. We talked a bit about this earlier, but it's important to reiterate. If we expect to grow in holiness, to show God's love to others, we must read and study scripture. Ultimately, scripture points towards the Son, Jesus Christ. The gospel is the climax of the Bible. It is the fulfillment of Judean prophecy and the greatest event to ever unfold. The Son came to earth, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life in which he was tempted in the ways we are, yet he did not sin. He was rejected by this world, beaten and crucified. He was killed, but he rose 3 days later, subsequently conquering death. So that when we believe in him as Savior and Lord, we shall not be thrown into hell, but we shall inherit the free gift of eternal life in heaven, in the presence of our Holy Lord. So as we prepare to partake in communion today, I want us to think deeply about a few things. First, have we been neglecting scripture? Have we simply left our sword in its holster and allowed it to be? where we feel that we no longer are growing? If so, seek God in prayer and read his word. The major differentiation between Christianity and other religions, number one, is our God is real. Number two is that our God wants a relationship with us.
Amen.
Second, are we doing all that we can do to show God's love to this world through the gospel? Ultimately, this is the true application of all scripture, to share the good news that although we are broken, Christ is our Savior. As Romans says, God shows his love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and submit to you. We thank you for providing us with your word and giving us the Holy Scripture that works in us. We ask you for motivation. We ask you to point us to you, Lord. Allow us to show your love in our actions and allow us to be utilized by you. Allow us to be dedicated and faithful. Remove any distractions and give us the faith we need to be effective witnesses. Even when things aren't going our way, let us see your work in all things. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, everything that you are doing, and everything that you will do. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. As we prepare to meet around the Lord's table here this morning, may this be a time of reflection for you all. And just since there are, you know, several new individuals here, we do have an open communion table. We do not require that you are a member of Trinity to partake in the bread and the cup. We will come down the front, the middle aisle here, and you will be given a piece of bread. You will take that bread and dip it in the juice right up front here. Then you will partake with both. And if you're sitting on this side, you will depart back to your seat over this way and this way as well. And so may this be a time that we mark in our lives, that we determine, we decide that we will get back in God's word in one way, shape, or form. May it not be just an empty movement or an empty experience. Friends, God is alive. Jesus is alive. His word is alive, active, sharper than any double-edged sword, able to separate marrow, joint from marrow. And basically, friends, may you meet the living God here this morning through communion, but then through the reading of his words. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you, Lord, for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Heavenly God, for communion, the bread and the cup. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for the bread, the body of Christ that was broken for us. And we pray that you would bless this bread. We thank you for the cup, the blood of Jesus, our Lord, our Savior, our coming King, that was poured out for the remission of the sins of many. And we praise you for that, O God. We ask that you would bless the cup, O Lord. May you just touch our hearts now. May you meet with us during this time. May this commemorate a decision, a desire, a movement by us toward you. For we know at the cross of Calvary, you moved toward us. May we respond by the hearing of your word in moving and stepping toward you. And may it start by us partaking of the bread and of the cup. So bless these elements, we pray. May you meet with us this day. We bless you and honor you in the holy name of the risen Christ, we do pray. Amen. On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. Take, eat, do this in remembrance of me." Then likewise, Jesus then took the cup and said, "This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for the sins of many. Take, drink, do this in remembrance of me." As the Spirit of God moves you to come forward and to receive the bread and the cup, may you come forward and may you meet the risen Christ, the living Lord, our coming King, our God. It is our custom here at Trinity United Methodist Church to take up a benevolent offering on our communion Sundays. And we have a benevolence ministry here called Trinity Care. And it goes to help those within our congregation first that are in need of food and rent. And you can see Tina Shields if you have other questions about that. And then we also assist individuals within the Gibsonburg community. And so as the ushers come forward, know that this is going for those individuals who are in a time of need in our community first.
Can everybody stand, please? And with communion, let's let our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ know how great thou art. Page 16, I think, in the hymnal.
Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, your power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Sings my soul, my Savior God to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, sweetly in the trees, when I look down from lofty mountains grandeur and see the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my how sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. When Christ shall smile.